Blog Talk Radio.
For me,
amongst friends, conversations for the grown and sexy, where we discuss everything concerning life, love, sex, and relationships.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Amongst Friends. My name is Jeff. I'll be your host this evening, and we're going to talk about some stuff. So, family, here we are.
America.
She says America, I say family, we're all different, but we're all the same, yes. Okay. Amongst Friends, 9 o'clock, time to rock. Check us out. We want to thank you, everybody, for joining us this evening. Just to start things off, you can reach us at 760-683-2662 for your comments and for questions. You can join us on Facebook at the Amongst Friends Radio Talk Show. You can put that into the browser on Facebook, and you should be able to find our multi-diversified group. And then if you want to listen to us live online, you can check that out at blogtalkradio.com/amongstfriends. I'm here tonight with my peeps, Deidre, Heather, Brittany, Q, and Joey. Tonight, y'all, we're going to talk about decisions. The good, the bad, the ugly. The ones fueled by emotion. So, to start it all off, I know everybody's heard about the recent decision that was made to shut down the government for a little brief period. We're going to talk about very briefly decisions such as those and the ramifications therein with it. I just want to throw this out there. First question of the night to my co-host and to our listeners out there. Just think upon this. What do you think to date was the most important decision that you had to make? To date, what was the most important decision that you had to make? So, Q, we'll start with you. What was the most important decision that you had to make to date?
The most important decision I had to make. The most important decision I had to make. I think one comes to mind was when I was going through separation and later on divorce. Whether I should keep my house or sell it.
Why was that a tough one for you?
Because you know what, it was strictly financial, and it was the only thing, material thing, in this world that I had. So, and for me, it was basically whether to struggle with with the one thing that I had, or just let it go. And I knew of the struggle for those who, you know, who own their homes, to go from two paychecks to one paycheck is a bitch. It's crazy, but it was like something inside of me. Maybe it was God or whatever, but it was like, you know what, whatever you do, keep the house. And that's what I did. That's what I did. Once I made the decision to do that, there was no, you know, it was just full speed ahead. So I could say that was one of the hardest things to do for me.
Okay. Deidre, gal, please tell me, gal, what was the most important decision to date that you had to make?
To date, the most important decision I made was deciding to leave the federal government, being stable in a job in Texas, to move back to D.C.
Okay. And was that important because it was, do you feel it was important because of everything that you had back in Texas, or was it important because you wanted to get here because we had better parties? What was it?
No, it was, I kind of moved originally from this area because there were a couple of things that were going on in my personal life that kind of made me miss my family even more, because I needed the support, because I had kind of lost the support system. And so it kind of made me really, 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 really miss my family. And so when I moved back and I did the whole buying the house and, you know, doing these family gatherings and all this kind of stuff, everybody had their own life kind of going on, and I was still the single chick doing me. Like, hold up. Why am I in Texas again? Like, I don't have any kids. I don't have any husband. So why would I live? Why would I leave D.C. where there's tons of opportunities? There's so much stuff that can be done, and I had some unfinished business, so I needed to come back.
And plus, they got a better, suckier football team, but we won't get into that.
We won't get into that.
Thank you. I just had to put it out there. So Joey, it's on you right now, kid. What was your most important decision to do? Brother Joey.
What about you, Heather?
I've been listening to what everybody's saying, and I'm at a loss for most important decisions.
To date.
Wow, you had a loss? You make that many? Or what's going on?
No, I mean, I think when you say most important, I'm thinking like something that was really big. I would think like a big move, marriage, that kind of thing.
Right.
And I don't necessarily have those. I think in general, one of the decisions that I often make that seems a little careless to other people, and in the in-between time, I know I suffer with it, but when I don't feel like a job is right, I will resign and leave.
Just like that?
Yeah.
Get out.
Wow.
That's something that 99.9% of people won't do.
Yeah, I get that. And I mean, it's been times where I've really like suffered in the in-between time, and I really didn't understand, and I felt like kicking myself, or like, you know, I'll turn down a job if I feel like they're not paying enough or what they want me to do. I just know that for me, I was in a situation very young. I'll never forget it. I took a stay-at-school job at SEC, And I was working for a lady who was crazy, like literally crazy. And she had kind of painted a picture like something was wrong with me. And I'm like, I'm in college, like, you've been here 20-some years. And I just said that she walked, one day she walked in and she was like, I want everybody to be quiet. There's no verbal communication. Just do your work. If you need somebody, email them. And I'm just looking around at all these other people, and I mean adults who have been here 10, 15 years were saying to me, like, you know, I have a mortgage to pay. And I'm like, how do y'all put up with this? One thing that I got children in college, and I never forget it. I walked over to the supply room and asked them for a box and two brown paper bags and just started packing my desk up. And everybody like, what are you doing? And I asked the guy that I knew drove, I was like, can you bring my stuff home? And I left when I got on the train. And I never, from that day forward, I just felt like, because I knew I would get up in the morning and cry all the way on the train to work, cry all this. I just didn't like being there. I didn't like her. So I just learned, like, anywhere you have to be 40 hours a week, you definitely got to be there. It's not like you can use up all your leave. You got to interact with people. You have to be, you know, team-oriented and sociable. So I just, that's one of the things that I do, though.
Wow.
She just up and left. She just up and, like, gave him the two fingers.
Right. She just went all Braveheart on the job. You can't take from me my freedom.
No, I mean, I think on one hand, it leaves me where I've worked a lot of places, but it's also been like, you know what? I know when something isn't right. I just know that's not right. And it's no need of me being there suffering or them being there and suffering. And I think if you can't be happy, I don't think you got to be happy every day. You just got to be happy, happy, joy, joy. But I do think you need to have some peace and some calm about your decision and your choices.
That's true. Well, I could simply say I've never been in that situation. I've never. So, but have you, I mean, did you, like, talk to her? Your supervisor, or you just like, you know what, this broad is crazy, I'm out. You know, nobody like talked to her or anything?
Well, you know, some people were like trying to talk to her, you know, and I had tried, but even like we had gotten a new director of that branch of SEC, and she was kind of like on her side. She, you know, like wasn't really hearing what I had to say, so I just felt like it was a no-win situation. And probably about a year after I left, you know, in the government, like they'll never fire you. You keep the same pay, but they can demote you. She was the receptionist. She was no longer a branch chief, but she was literally the receptionist. And she was making $107,000, and eventually they forced her to retire. But it was just like, I was trying to tell y'all, like, this is who she is, what she's doing. And I think people really wanted their jobs, wanted their increases, their bonuses, for whatever. But I just knew that wasn't something that I could take or do.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, ever since then, like, you know, people are like, well, why are you looking for a job now? If it's not, like, even my situation now, my boss decided to resign, and my position was really contingent upon his, which I didn't know. They've asked me to stay on. I've been here since June to, like, still an employee but contracting sort of right. And I just know, like, as my last day approaches, if they come up with another project, although I need a job and I need money, I wouldn't take it because I don't want to be there anymore.
Okay.
Great day in the morning. Great. You fire on the job, ain't you?
Wow.
You fire on the job. Okay, so let me.
I don't believe in the leadership of the organization. It's a small organization. I don't believe in the leadership. I don't think there is integrity or character. And I think they look for a sort of, they want to say, you know, we want to be collaborative, we want to be this and we want to be that. But they really aren't.
And this is the federal government?
No, this isn't federal government. This is a private family
private
foundation.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So let me ask... I don't know, Q, I don't know if you are a federal employee, but I believe Deidre and myself, we are, well, I am to an extent, but Deidre probably more than me. So, Pedro, with the recent situation that is going on with our government and our employees and the employees for that said government, do you feel a bit of regret for making the decision to go into that line of work? Into your job.
No, absolutely not. I do not regret working with the federal government because there are far more benefits I've had since being a federal employee. Currently, I am not a federal employee. I am a federal contractor. So it kind of sucks right now that the federal government is closed because even if the federal employees get back pay as a federal contractor, I do not. So that sucks. But the benefits for working with the federal government have far outweighed all of the other jobs that I have had in the private sector and in the nonprofit sector.
Okay.
And anybody who got a job in the federal government, Heather wants it.
Okay.
Right.
I don't think anything really what's going on in the federal government right now, let me say this. From one perspective, I can definitely understand where people are sort of like, the government been shut down. Like, it's a disgrace in our day and time that the government would even need to shut down. So that part I get. On the flip side, it's not as if these people are never going to get paid. It's not as if the government is never going to open back up. Like, there are certain things where people are just saying, you're going a bit extreme. Now, for someone who's like Deidre, who is a contractor, like, she wouldn't get back pay. So the days are just lost for her. So that part I can get saying that it could create a hardship. But everybody else who's like falling out and flipping the switch, it's like, okay, now, let's not exaggerate the situation. Let's not act as if you didn't just get paid and like everybody else, you have to make your paycheck work until the next 2 week paycheck. Like, it's one of those kind of situations.
Okay.
So,
I've always been private sector. I've never worked for the federal government. So, so from the outside looking in, and this is one. This is. You know, there's a myth about federal workers. You know, it's like they really don't do anything.
They don't.
It may not be true. Okay, whatever. But you know, it's just a myth that you know federal workers really don't. They really don't do anything. But you know, the reason why people love it's because of the benefits. You know, the benefit package is off the hook, but, you know, they stay at that one job for like 20-something years or whatever. You know, there's no little or no promotion or whatever, you know, and if you do, they promote with them. So, I mean, it's just a whole lot of, and, you know, I'm just going over all the stuff I did. Maybe if it's true, yay. If it's not true, yay.
I think that it's true. It's partially true and partially false because in the federal government there is tons of advancement. Yes, there is some promotions that come from within, but I mean, I am a perfect example of somebody who had never had any type of federal experience, was able to get on a federal contract and was brought into the federal government and then got promotions and was able to move around in the government. So it understand there are situations where I've talked to people who have been in their jobs for 10 and 15 years in the same position, but it's all about the people.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, I guess that's one of the reasons why everybody wants to work for the federal. Not even like local government. Because local government is just it's a step above private sector. But you know, once you get that federal job, it's like you're in. And like if you do something wrong, something that's worthy of termination, they don't do that. You have the unions or whatever to back you up, and you'll do whatever. You have to pay the crap, but you won't lose your job. Whereas private sector, if you fuck up, you're behind is gone. You're behind is gone. So I don't know.
So let me. I'm a contractor. And you know, in my situation, we're still working. We're still doing the, you know, the administrative background work for my project. So, you know, it's a big wait and see situation for when when the government personnel come back to the office for us. But as of right now, we're just kind of like waiting to see if things are going to come to a screeching halt, because all of our big decisions, you know, have to come from those persons. So it's a bit scary because you especially if you're on a project and you're gaining momentum and other contractors, you're bonding at the job, you're getting to know each other, you're getting to know how each other, the pluses and minuses of working with this person and that person and building their relationship, and then all of a sudden you have to come to a screeching halt, basically. It just kind of puts a little damper on the whole atmosphere of the workplace. So, you know, you definitely feel the effects there. But what I want to ask, I'm going to throw Joey into the fire. So, Joey, what was the riskiest decision that you had to make?
Riskiest
yeah.
decision.
Yeah, the one that, like, it could be something that had you on the fence with, you know, do I want to mess with this crazy? Do I want to mess with this crazy girl? Do I want to go ahead and, you know, steal this mango from the farmer's market?
You stupid.
You know,
you stupid.
Do I want to?
You stupid.
You know, do I want to keep the rental car for an extra day and go in and tell them that, you know, the girl Jenny that was at the front, you know, Jenny, who was in the front office on Monday, told me I could have a free day, and then try to argue him down and get the free day. So, so Joey, what was the riskiest decision that you had to make?
Riskiest decision.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know. I don't.
Go ahead, Joe. Beat your chest. I don't make risky decisions. Go ahead and say it, Joe.
No, I wouldn't say that, but I don't know. I don't have anything like that would be considered risky, I guess.
Tucker, do you have any risky decisions that you had to make?
Yeah.
Care to
I think what's risky is, what was a risky decision? Taking a chance on being in a relationship with a not-so-essential guy.
not so essential. That's a loaded statement.
Mm. How loaded is it?
Yeah, why do you say that's a loaded statement? What do you mean?
How is he non-essential?
Essential probably wasn't the word that
was
I wanted to use.
Was he a government
right
worker?
The word that came to my mind.
Because you were thinking about government worker.
When I mean essential, meaning that it wasn't like a need or necessity and probably not the best choice, but taking a risk on him, understanding the stakes and everything that there
because
was
he had
to lose
a nice
behind
body.
It.
Because he was 6'5" and 240 with a nice body.
No, actually
no.
Not.
Okay. Q, you're up next.
Yeah.
But boy, the riskiest decision you had to make.
The riskiest decision, it goes back, the only thing I could think of is going back to when I should keep my house. Because as mentioned earlier, it was going from two paychecks to one paycheck. So there's that risk of not paying the bill, not paying the mortgage, you know. It was always in the back of my mind of, you know, after I made my decision, it was like, what the hell am I going to do? What the hell am I going to do? You know, but.
But aren't you glad now?
I'm glad. I'm glad I made the decision to keep it. I'm really, really glad I made the decision to keep it. Even though I'm not gonna lie, there was a few times when I didn't know when I was gonna be able to do it. Y'all just don't understand. Y'all don't understand. There was a lot of times where I just had enough to, like, you know, pay my mortgage or pay the bills or, you know, rob Peter to pay Paul, you know. But it was never like sell it. So repeat the most important basically what's my house. There's no security. There's no security. It's just that. Up because I'm kind of going through that right now with one of my best friends. And this is a person that we've been friends like going to 8-9 years, and he's part of my inner circle. So we have like a little static going on. So I guess we talked about it and we talked things out, you know. So it's not to the part where, you know, we're going to fisticuffs or anything like that. But it's like, you know what, you know, you stay on your side. You know, I'm gonna stay on my side. You know, if we meet up, whatever. You know, I'm gonna give you love. I'm gonna give you that, whatever. But you know, until things get back to the way they were, and that's if they get back to the way they were. You know, we just stay on both sides of the fence, and that's it. You know.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But you're okay with that?
I guess the best answer, Heather, to that is it is what it is. It is what it is. It bothers me. And I really don't want to go into details, but it bothers me. It bothers me because it just bothers me. But, you know, I just think that, you know, and I'm a firm believer that, you know, in due time, you know, time heals our wounds. So, you know, it'll get better. It'll get better. Now, whether it gets to the point that where we were, you know, we was real tight and close, that remains to be seen. I don't know. But you know, it's cool. It's cool.
Okay. I don't think y'all should just be, you know, we'll speak, but we, you know, on our own fast. I need to work it out.
that's easier said than done. That's easier said than done. I'm sure at some point, you know, we'll talk things out. And as men sometimes, you know, certain things are just it just goes over your head. You know, you just don't want to talk about it. If you see the person, you know, you just hug them, you know, give them love and just talk like, you know, even though it was a little bit of stress and strife, you know, both parties know that, you know, it's bullshit and it's just words being said. You know, I disagree, you disagree, or you disagree and I agree and disagree. So at some point, you know, time will, you know, bring both parties back together and back to the conference table. But, you know, at right now, you know, it's cool. It's cool if we are both sides of the fence. It's cool.
Mm-hmm. So, has anybody else ever had to go through something like that with a close friend?
Something like what, Jeff?
Something like where you had to make the decision to basically end the friendship. I know for me, I haven't gone through exactly that, but I am guilty of basically, you know, one of my boys is going, you know, two of my boys, they were going through something, and, you know, I sided basically with one of my boys over the other one, and it was strictly off of, at the time, one side of the story that got to me. And, you know, I had it in my head, I was like, oh, well, you know, due to history, he's gone, he's kaput, he's out of here, you know what I'm saying? Like, that friendship right there just got to sleep with the fishes, because it's just over. How could that dude do this? You know what I'm saying? How could that dude do this to you? You know what I'm saying? We like brothers, but this is crazy. And, you know, years later, you know, it's a situation, ran up on a dude at the corner store, you know what I'm saying, back home, and it was like, yo, I mean, we spoke like we had seen each other, like just last week at a cookout. It was crazy. But I mean, that's about as close to the situation that I've got. So
I don't think I've ever ended a friendship. I think I am very guilty of and I'm noticing it, and I'm not sure what causes it to happen, where I just drift off of communication with people.
Okay.
And it's not like it's anything wrong or happened, but just, and I keep saying I'm going to call, and then after so long you don't want to call because you don't want to hear, you don't have an excuse why you ain't called. And then it just,
you know what, I have a question, and I want to ask the panel, and I want to ask the Amongst Friends family. Is it different if the relationship is strained with your friends as compared to a family member? Or is it the same thing? Or is the emotions the same? Or is the emotions different?
I would say it's totally different. It's almost like when you're at work and, you know, you have office politics to play. Or, you know, the office politics are going on in the background of every decision that's being made by your managers and supervisors. With your friends, it's like, you know, it's almost kind of dog-eat-dog, where it's like, you know, well, if you're cool and you're standing upright in this friendship that we got, then you should be able to see things eye to eye. And if we don't, then it's just like, oh, well, you know, just toss it up in the air sometimes and just be like, well, you know, in a certain, in a, for some people, they have a degree of friends, and if that person is like at the first degree, which is like your BFF, you know, that person that you're talking to or dealing with, you got to make a decision to cut them or a decision on how to deal with them. If they third string, fourth string, they might be a throwaway. But, you know, mm-hmm. everybody knows, of course, with Sam, you know what I'm saying, you don't want to ruffle feathers. And go in every situation, I find every situation where you have to make a decision based on family, you already know what it is going into the situation. If this is your fucked up uncle who's always bringing the bullshit to the fam, come on. I know that a broke clock can be right two times a day, but you gotta wonder about this uncle. Is this that time that he's right, or is this again another one of those times where he's just wrong? So, you know, with that, you know, I think you raise things a little bit heavier when it comes to making decisions with family, and you have lighter situations with your friends. That's just me.
Okay. And you know what? The reason why I asked was because we all know or been in a situation where we're closer to our friends than some of our family members. So, and that was my question. It was like, you know, if there's beef or if there's static, you know, is it the same? Is it the same with the family member as compared to, quote unquote, you know, your best friend? Or, you know, are there differences? Are there alliances that you have to lean on more than the other?
I think it depends on the person. I mean, because if I have a very close family, then of course my relationships or, you know, those are going to be different from my friendships. But if I didn't really have a strong family structure and my friends are my family, then it's going to be it's going to be difficult.
Okay.
So let me ask this. We all have friends. We all have, you know, family and friends who are like-minded like ourselves. They are fully capable of thinking a situation through, forwards, backwards, left, right, upside down, right side up. Have you ever been in a situation to where somebody tells you, oh, man, I got to make a decision, and then they tell you the pros, they tell you all the pros and cons, they lay everything out for you. You see the decision as pretty clear cut as to what the person should do. But you don't want to sway them. So you basically keep your mouth shut and ask them the question, so which way are you leaning? So what are you going to do? And then they end up making the wrong decision, the one that you really thought that they would never make. Have anybody ever been in that situation?
So let me explain the situation, or explain the question that you're asking. So your best friend comes to you with a situation, and you being the objective one say, well, what are you going to do? And so do
right.
you? So my question is, do you give him the options, or does he have the options? Does he tell you the options, or what do you want to do?
Right.
Hmm.
Say it again, Q.
I said. Okay. See, I'm asking if your best friend, you know, came to you with a dilemma, right? Your best friend comes to you with a dilemma, and you know, you being the objective party, you say, well, what are you going to do? So, and when it comes to options, my question is, are you saying the options first, or is he giving you the options of what he wants to do?
Your boy or yourself, they're laying everything out.
Okay. Well, Jesse, I'm thinking as his best friend, it's your job to come up with some decisions for him so he could, you know, come to some sort of solution. Or, I mean, you have to say something at some point. If he come up with options and none of them are what you like, you just have to say, well, how about this option? Or here's what I would do. Or here seems to be the most feasible thing to do. Instead of not saying anything at all.
Okay. So you're saying you would just take the reins at that point when they lay it all out, and you
hell
just
yeah.
hear them. Okay.
Hell yeah. Like brothers or boys, there's always an issue with a female. You know, there's one female, you know, who got it going on. You know, she has her head on straight. She got a nice little job. You know, but she may not be good in the sack. She may not be good sex wise. And, you know, there's this other chick that, you know, you're messing with. You know, she a hood rat. You know, she's on public assistance. You know, she got four kids by five dudes. But the sex is banging. The sex, you know, have you eyes crossed and your toes curled, you know. You know, we all been through that situation before, but, you know, the question is, well, you know, who do you pick? And some dudes will go for the hood rat chick just because the sex is off the hook. You know? So, you know, if your boy, you know, goes for the hood rat chick, you got to smack him upside the head, but like, no, wrong decision. You know?
Okay. So, Joy, do you steer your peoples in the right direction, or do you see which way they're going to go on their own?
It depends on the relationship, like how close we are, because I've had to learn that you don't have to give your opinion.
Really?
Give your opinion unless you're asked. I had to learn that lesson the hard way, but it depends on who it is. If they about to make the dumbest decision that might cause them their life or their family,
uh-huh.
Maybe I'll say something, but most times I do just kind of sit back and be like, look, you grown, and you didn't ask me my advice.
But Joe, sometimes, you know, grown doesn't automatically mean smart.
You're right.
You know?
Brother Q, you're right.
But as quote unquote the best friend, you know, I just feel that it's our duty as the best friend to you know stand in the right. You know what? The only thing we can do is just give them our opinions. Try to steer them the right way. But if you give them the advice, and they say, "Yeah, I take all that to consideration," and they still do the dumb decision, that's on them. That's on them. So they can never say to you, well, you know, you ain't offer your opinion. Yeah, I did. But you made your decision. So, and if it's messed up, you just gotta lie in it.
But you know what? Here's the thing about that, though, Q. If you give your advice or you give your opinion, even if they ask, it lends itself to, if it works out, they'll say thank you. But if it doesn't, but then if it works out in the beginning, they'll say thank you. But then if it ends up falling apart later on, they're gonna blame you. And if it ends up falling apart because they listened to your advice but didn't take it, they're gonna blame you. So you kind of just it's one of those things where, like I said, you just gotta pick and choose.
Damn if you do, damn if you don't.
Yeah, because they're going to blame. Like, at the end of the day, you're going to be the one blamed. And, I mean, I've just kind of learned, like, man, some things you just got to stay out of. Even if they making the dumbest decision ever, it's just best to stay out of it.
I hear you.
But if you ask me, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I hear
you. But I ain't giving it away for free no more.
You gotta pay.
Joe said, "Yo, check this out. It's gonna cost you $5.95. I'll tell you right now. Don't take EBT card. And
give me $20.
Shoot, at this point, I will take the EBT card.
Oh. Get that guap, yo. Get that guap, yo. These are. Deidre, old guru from Texas.
Yeah.
Dallas fan.
Yeah. We might have to kill it just because of that. No, so Deidre, do you help Reggie your fan? You help steer them when they bring it to you, or do you just have, you know, try and get from them which way they gonna go?
Or
do a twist in it. If you do ask them which way they lean in, do you try to change their mind if you see that they made a decision that they shouldn't have made?
No. So this is what Deidre does. First of all, I ain't saying nothing unless you ask me. Okay? Then the second approach is, I'm going to give you my opinion about the situation as your friend, meaning that if I think he's a cruddy dude, I'm going to tell you, I think he's a cruddy dude. I think you're better than this. I think you need to leave and leave now, yada, yada, yada. And I'm going to say all of that. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to say, but whatever your decision is, I am going to support you 100%. So if you decide to be with this cruddy dude, when you come back to me because it didn't work out in this particular situation, I'm going to be the most objective person. I am going to see it from their perspective. I am going to be team whoever the person was. All of my friends will say that they're like, Deidre is never on the friend side. I'm always on the side of whoever that they're dealing with. And that has always been my MO. Always.
Mm-hmm.
Good, bad, and different.
So, Deidre, are you the type of person that says, I told you so?
No, I'm not. No. I don't. That's not my thing.
I think, you know what? I think people need to be.
So, I don't think so. I don't think so because life experience, whether it be good or bad, is going to be enough. Like, so if the dude turns out to be a really cruddy dude and has taken you through all hell and back and forth and then hell again and back and hell again, I mean, you've gone through enough hell, then for me to come back and rub it all back in your face, no, I don't think so.
Okay. Must be a female thing because I know dudes will tell you, I told you so, you ain't gonna listen to me. Now you listen to me, I told you so. I told you that Roy was cruddy.
Absolutely right. You're absolutely right that it's a guy thing because I have heard it from guys, but then I've seen it with females where at the end of the day, you know, they finally come to their senses, and then as a girlfriend, we're like, girl, yeah, you may have gone through it, you know, whatever, but you know what? We'll get through it. That's what my girls have always said to me. We'll get through it. And I said the same thing.
God said that too. Guys say that same thing. You say, you know, you're my man, 50 grand, you're my man, Apple Scrapple. You know, we say the same thing too, but in the end, be like, next time you'll listen to me.
Mm-mm. We ain't doing all that.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, you two bring me to a very nice segue, and that is making decisions. And those decisions are fueled by emotion. Did you know that's where a lot of bad decisions can possibly happen?
Is that right? Is that right? Through emotion?
I believe so. We get caught up in those situational emotions.
I kind of agree with you. Now I know I've been in this situation,
and you know, situation emotion. I know guys have been there left and right. You're thinking with your little head instead of your big head, and some girl just told you. You could get it, and you know you got a girlfriend. You could get it, and you know you got a wife. And what do? You don't get it. That right there, the situation, emotion. You want to feel that. You want to feel like, you know, you the man. Like you got it, like that. Like you said something so slick to this chick. Or you said something so slick to this dude that he you know, he or she took the bait, and then it's like boom, you're like, ah, I got this. So you slide and you off and you do your dirt. But and I know a lot of dudes have been there. I know a lot of a couple of chicks have been there. Women are so righteous and they just don't fall into life's sand traps like that. They're wholesome and good. And they love so hard that they won't fall into things like such travesty of emotional situations like that. So, yeah, you know, like I said, I know some females who have gone and done that. So just thinking on that, what do y'all think of some other, like, situational emotional situations that cause us to make decisions on the fly?
What was the question again, Jeff?
What are some other situational emotions that cause us to make decisions on the fly?
Hmm.
I think when we broke, you know, when you get desperate, you start doing stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like going to get
how,
like
a payday loan. How about you catching your significant other in the bed with another person? That's, you know, you got to make some rash decisions there.
You don't have to make no decision. They made the decision for you. They said, "I want you to beat my ass. Fuck me up." That's what they said.
Oh, language.
Okay.
Oh, yo, all
I was talking
heard,
like I was
talking
to DJ. Sorry.
I heard Heather's response, right? I could see the devilish grin on her face. And then all I could think of was Angela Bassett throwing the clothes out and waiting to exhale and burning the pile of clothes outside.
Yeah. Wow.
That's
way to exhale moment.
Thank you for the visuals, Heather. Thank you very much for that. Appreciate you.
You're welcome.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, yo, money is a great situational motivator. Not an emotion, but it is a motivator. I know me personally, I have jumped at a job or two just based on the, you know, the salary, you know, trying to, you know, get my ones up. I know that has caused me to, you know, not really, well, sort of in the case of a heavy situation, you know what I'm saying? I'm working, I'm okay with the money, but somebody says, hey, you know, come over here, boom, 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 I can get you $3 more in that paycheck. I can get you $5 more in that paycheck. You know, and I'm just like, oh, for real? Well, just tell
me
about
the job. But it would depend on what the job is, right? I mean, you know, you can't just.
Oh yeah, so okay. I'm talking about me personally. I'm talking about from, you know, working the fry machine at McDonald's to being a gigolo on A Street. So yeah, that's the situation. Yeah, I jumped real quick. You know, I did what I had to do. You know, shout out to Pookie, Rara, and
Cupcake.
So, can y'all name any other?
You stupid, John.
Can y'all name any other situational motivators or?
Well, no, I think money is just, I guess the main factor, you know. I can't, what is there besides money? You know, if somebody come up, you know, offer you some sex, you could like, nah, I'm good, thank you. Or, you know, somebody run up to you and say, yeah, here's the key to my house. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, money is the only thing. And it all depends on, you know, what the task is.
Okay.
I ain't robbing no bank.
Okay. So, has anybody on the panel made a decision based on emotion? Good or bad?
Of course. If anybody says they haven't, I think they'd be lying.
Okay.
I haven't.
So, for the... Who's that? Q?
Q.
Huh?
Q.
Huh?
Q.
Huh?
America's
okay,
bad
I'm gonna,
boy.
I'm going to ask you this question, Jim.
I'm sorry. I'm lying.
Thank you for coming correct, bro. But so since we've all made decisions based on emotion and made some decisions, I could assume that weren't based on emotion, what do you think, where do you think you drew the line at as far as when you go, when you're going to make your next decision to have it not filled with emotion? What do you do to take the emotion out of it? Or can you take the emotion out of it?
I think if you go in, well, for me, if I go into the situation thinking, being very logical, it is easier for me to compartmentalize. But if I go into a situation with the, oh, let's whatever happened, happen, then that's where I get the whole, I can get caught up in my feelings. But if I go in, it's very black and white, this is what it's going to be, blah, 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 then while I can say, oh, well, I wish it was more, no, we've already discussed this, put that shit in check, and let's keep it moving. Either we're going to fuck or we're not going to fuck. Use my French, but either we are or not.
Language.
This is not a relationship. This is just sex. So stop tripping. Now, if you can't handle it being just sex, then say no to sex and keep it moving. Otherwise, anything that you say is garbage. Where were you? How come we can't spend more time? Hello, it's just sex. Stop tripping.
Oh. Booyah. That's ladies and gentlemen, if you're tuning in, that was among friends. That was our own Annie Oakley shooting from the hip. And she goes by the name of Deidre.
Really?
She hails from Six Guns. Was it Six Guns, Texas? Is that the little town that you're from, Deidre?
Really? You know that? My word.
Yes. Joey.
Yes.
Joey.
Yes.
Joey.
Yes.
Joe.
Yeah.
Joe, what was the last selfish decision that you made and why?
The last selfish decision I made, let's see. Gosh, Jeff, you so nosy, man. Asking all these deep questions about my decision making.
He wants to know if you're making great decisions anyway. That's why. That's all.
Yeah, hey. I make great decisions. Oh man.
We're talking to Joey, and he's not. This is not a collect call from Joey from any state penitentiary or anything like that. So he's making great decisions.
No, I wasn't laughing in no penitentiary. I wouldn't laugh.
The last selfish decision, Joe.
Last selfish decision. When I bought a Nintendo DS game for myself instead of buying one. Huh?
Joe. Was it Grand Theft Auto, Joe?
No, that's going to be my next selfish buy.
Oh, that's the next. So you haven't done anything selfish. No, you haven't made those selfish
decisions. No, you know what? I've made lots of selfish decisions, especially selfish in emotions. But here lately, no, I have not made any decisions that have been selfish because I've been trying to make things work in my life. Because I actually really wanted my first new, brand new car. I actually wanted it to be I actually wanted it to be a Mustang. I wanted a mm-hmm. blue Mustang with black interior. But you have kids and a wife and can't fit them in a Mustang.
Yeah, you can. Just struggle, just buck them down in the back.
No. That would have been very selfish, but that's what I wanted. But instead, I got a third row, a nice SUV with third row seating.
Yay.
And it's nice. I love it, but I really did want my first car to be a Mustang, my first new car, because, you know, I normally bought used cars. But like I said, the most recent selfish decision was I bought a Nintendo DS game.
What was the name of the game, Joe?
Super Mario. Super Mario 3. That was like my addiction as a kid, and I couldn't believe it. First of all, we was unpacking, and I found like this brand new Nintendo DS, and I kept it for myself. Because it was brand new.
Hey, Q. Yo, Q.
Yes, sir. Yes,
Yo,
sir.
Q. Q.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Element OP. Q. What was your...
Element OP.
Yeah. So I'm throwing it to you, sir. Selfish.
Yes, sir.
Decision.
Yes, sir. Selfish decision?
Yeah.
Okay. My last selfish decision. Okay. This is what happened. See, me and Lana were watching TV. And I don't know. About 10 minutes later, Lana got attacked. And he was real selfish.
Oh, that's wrong.
You know, she got attacked, you know, and it's her fault. It's her fault. You know. Walking around half naked with a T-shirt on. What was I supposed to do?
Really?
Lord, keep me near the cross, Jesus.
Really?
Keep me near the cross.
And you know, Joseph, you know what Jesus is saying back to you, right?
What's that?
He's saying, young soldier, I built you up enough so that you can stand as far away from the cross as necessary, and you should be just fine.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay, so, Deidre.
I was thinking T-shirt.
Yeah.
Walking around the house with just a T-shirt
thinking?
On.
What were you thinking?
It didn't go anywhere because I pleaded the blood. Hey! coming in the Honda. Shot.
Hey.
Oh,
Joey,
shot Tabo shot. Yes.
Is that Spanish, Joe? Is that Spanish or is that from Ghana?
I don't know what it is.
Okay.
I just hear other people doing it, so I thought I would try.
Right there.
Ecola. Oh, hey.
Hey, Shana, nah.
Selfish decision.
It's hot.
I don't think that I've made any, considering that I'm single. I don't have any kids.
I think that's made. Those are all selfish decisions.
Yeah. You not having any kids is selfish.
Oh, that's sweet.
Anywho, so it's just me. So whatever I want to do, I can do.
See? Okay.
That's selfish.
Okay.
Just selfish. So, you're just selfish. Okay. You're just selfish. Even Brittany had a child.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. You're selfish. Deidre,
I want you to go out this weekend, Deidre. I want you to find a dude on the dance floor, and I want you to make the selfish decision to run up on him on the dance floor and just drop it like it's hot, and just mess the creases up in his trousers, and then walk away.
And Deidre, you gotta do the Texas. You gotta do a Texas two step. Bam, bam. Come on. Bam, bam.
Yeah, no.
Oh.
I'm not gonna do that.
You're gonna be selfish, dear.
I am.
Okay.
I'm gonna keep all of this goodness to myself.
More women should be selfish.
Joe, stop that.
I ain't talking to you married folks. No. If you married or in a situation, no, you share. You share, ladies.
Thank you. Okay. Because, you know, Lana, listen. So, you know, who she trying to share? Matter of fact,
so
we got 10 minutes left in the show.
But share with your, just share with your man. Yes. Yes.
You're saying that I'm in a situation I should share.
No, I was not you. I was referring to Q.
What, me? Me? No, that was to Deidre. No, sir.
That wasn't to Deidre. No, I was referring to, no, the situation was to you, Q.
Well,
Deidre is either single or she in a relationship trying to get married.
Oh.
She never said she was in, she never used the term talking to or in a situation.
Yeah, Deidre is no longer in any situation. I am selfish.
Oh, no.
I am loving me.
Okay.
Good.
Well, I love
that's,
you too, boo.
That's what you gotta do. You gotta love you.
Gotta
love
you. Gotta love you. Because somebody else will. But I love you, boo. You're my motherfucker.
Lame.
Okay.
I'm going to top it all off with my most selfish decision.
No, what you need to top it off is, what is your most important decision to date? What is your riskiest decision? And then you can come and tell us what's your most selfish.
Oh, shoot. She right, yeah.
My most important decision was to accept that I am a relationship dude. I am not a gigolo. I am not a dude who's built for the single life. I am a dude who is built to be booed up, bunned up, whatever it is.
But that's not a decision. You just said that you realize that you are the relationship kind of dude, which means that was already within you. So come on and give us an important decision to date
But my decision was to stay that course. I was at the time that the realization was made, I had to make a decision to stay a guy who was always in, for the most part of my life, in relationships. So I had to make that decision.
That sounds like pre-marriage.
I understand where he's coming from. I think what he's saying is that, you know, for the longest, I think what he's saying for the longest, and you know, Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong, it's like he's always been a relationship dude, but he was just fighting it. because of whatever reason. Once he got into a nice stable relationship, you know, for some people,
very committed relationship for a very long time. So what the hell are y'all talking about?
Deja, if the question is, what is my most important decision to date, then
okay.
My most important decision to date was that I'm a guy who needs to pursue relationships, or I'm going to pursue women to be in relationships.
Right.
Now, I've had my fun as a single dude ripping and running, but, you know, I know in the back of my mind, I know, you know, this is going to be over in about 2 weeks, and, you know, whoever I feel is worth my time, that's where I'm going to be at for the next month to 2 to 3, and we'll see how it goes from there. So, what was the second one now? My most riskiest decision?
The riskiest decision
that I've ever made was to jump into a stolen car and go for a joyride.
Mm.
Wow.
And I did it, and my boys was in the car, and I knew nobody in my boy's family owned a car that looked like that. And I jumped in the car and went for a joyride. Boom. But the statute of limitations has run out on that, so I don't have to worry about it. Okay. and my most selfish decision. My most selfish decision was to go ahead and take my wife off the singles lead list.
Because you wanted that.
Bird up. So, here it is, people.
You dumb boy.
So, I can see we got the time dwindling down. Ladies and gentlemen, our beautiful Amongst Friends audience, we want to thank you for joining us tonight for our discussion here, there, and everywhere about decisions, good, bad, and ugly. I want to thank my co-host in crime, time, line, and other folks with that line of things. So, to my Amongst Friends family, is there anything that you would like to offer to the audience as far as advice on how to make good decisions?
Yeah, I got one. America, when it comes to decision-making, use your head instead of your heart. Use your brain, because your heart is emotional and your heart sometimes doesn't, you know, interpret what's going on. Always be smart in your decisions.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Joey, Idra, any jewels you want to drop on our audience when it comes to making decisions?
When you're making decisions that deal with other people, just make sure that, you know, ask that old question of, would you want someone to treat you the same way you're getting ready to treat whoever? You know, like, how would you feel if you were on the reverse end? So basically, consider other people's feelings and what have you before making a decision, especially if it's dealing with someone else.
I know, me personally, I would just say, When it comes
when
to
a problem
issue,
comes along, you must whip it. Whip it good.
What you know about that song, Andrew? That's before your time.
Okay. I was going to say stick to your guns when you make your decision. You're definitely going to stick to your guns when it comes to making a good decision. But even when you make a bad one, stick to your guns. Try and work through it, but make sure you own it. Because good or bad, your decisions define who you are. So, that's what I got.
Mm-hmm. And also, it's okay to mess with an ugly woman. It's okay.
Woo.
It's okay. Hey.
Yes,
hey.
It is okay. But
it
you
okay.
have to remember the rules. You have to remember the rules. They night fighters are for nighttime only. You are bad if you break that rule. Night fighters are not for getting pregnant. You don't get pregnant with your night fighter. You're breaking the rules. No. That is a bad decision, and that is one of those decisions. That's a risky decision. That's an emotional decision because you feel bad that you're only sleeping with her at night and you won't cut on any other lights. That's a bad, bad move. Don't do it. You're messing it up for all of us. Stop it. Stop it.
Oh, my goodness.
But Joe, what if I'm not qualified to get a dime piece? What if I'm not qualified for a five? What if I'm not even qualified for a nickel?
Yes. I don't think there's anything wrong with having night fighters. I think every guy has those moments or has those times. But you have to remember the rules of engagement because you're giving them too much hope. And you're giving
ooh.
Yourself too much.
Oh, boy.
Wait a minute. Don't y'all sit up there and talk about no. Oh, boy. Because women do it, too. Women do it, too. So stop
it. Is that why DJ is not putting you in the corner right now? Is that why?
Ooh.
Because
no,
this
is
a
women's
race. What?
Oh, you better not break that rule.
I know if I would have said that, I would have put the corner.
Oh, that's because that's real talk. That ain't even no faking, no game.
I'm about to go to bed.
Ladies and gentlemen, of the audience, I want to thank you for joining Among Friends. Please join us every Wednesday, 9 p.m. We're here for you. Give you that good orgasm on life, love, relationships, and all that surrounding it, under it, going through it, and everything else.
Is Brittany coming on next week?
No, she's on maternity.
Feel better, Brittany. Feel better, boo boo.
Feel better.
I don't think she's sick. She just had a baby. I don't think she's sick.
Okay, you're right.
So can I ask a question? Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
It's your show. Yes.
When are you expecting?
Whoa.
When is the due?
Oh, in December.
Oh.
Okay. You're gonna have a quiz, my baby.
A quiz, no, baby.
No, wait, Christmas. Ladies and gentlemen, Joseph said that his child is due in December. Joe.
Uh-huh.
Joe.
Yes.
Please tell me your wife's name ain't got no bit of Mary in it, please.
Huh? No, it wasn't an immaculate conception. I was actually very present for that moment.
Okay, so you won't be having no baby Jesus?
No. Lord, that was Jeff speaking such tomfoolery. It wasn't Joseph.
You was the one speaking in fake tongues. He talking about my tomfoolery?
No, he laughs at that every day. God laughs at that every day. He finds that just as hilarious as I do.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm getting a message from the Lord. Yes, God. Okay. Take us out. Okay.
Amongst friends, all up in your area. We got hot picks causing mass hysteria. Crew 4D, peek at that group. We hit you hard from the pew to the street. Amongst friends, for the ladies, for the mans. Just 21, or wearing the pants. Fab old combo that you like. Come and get with us tonight. Amongst friends, fab old combo. Amongst friends, fab old combo. Grown and sexy baby, grown and sexy baby. Amongst friends, Fabo Combo. Amongst friends, Fabo Combo. Grown and sexy baby, grown and sexy baby,
Nothing to do this with y'all.